everyone. You're with Corinne Rayson from The Crew Coach and your host on the Wellbeing Project. I am really excited to speak to Amanda today because we are speaking to each other through Zoom, but in the same city. So it's very rare for me to connect with someone in Perth. Welcome, Amanda. Amanda, I just want to give a little brief background on what you do. So Amanda is the founder of Sleep Spot. She's got a background in nursing and strategic risk. Is it management? What did you manage? Perfect. Okay. So yeah, Amanda, over to you. Maybe if you can just share a little bit more about your background and why you started this amazing company.
Thanks, Corinne. So my business is Sleep Spot. I do run a couple of other companies, but they're sort of in the wake of my new business and my new passion. Well, not my new passion, but where I'm putting my passion. So about 15 years ago, I was working in mining and construction in Western Australia. And as Corinne said, I still do work in global strategic risk management. And one of my clients asked me to put together a fatigue management course. And when I was doing the research behind the course, I came across the science of sleep. And of course, with my nursing background, I just loved it. It just made so much sense to me. And at the time I was working as an occupational health nurse on mine sites, and there was a real focus then on rosters, hours of work. And that focus was coming from the regulators, the mines department globally, as well as within Australia. But also the mining companies wanted to improve safety. So they were looking at fatigue. And I thought, well, yeah, that's a great move. Like, are we doing 12-hour shifts? Are we doing 14-hour shifts? Are we doing 2 weeks on, 1 week off? But I really saw the significant change that we could have in people's lives, particularly, you know, around safety, but also around their enjoyment in life was sleep and optimizing people's sleep. So since then, I have just devoured everything I possibly can about sleep and the research behind it. And I love, yeah, just reading research articles and pulling out the really interesting bits. And I think part of the overwhelm with information on any topic is there's so much. Where do we go? Where's our source of truth? And so what I do with Sleep Spot is I unpack that science of sleep. And over the last 15 years, I found myself looking back thinking I have been coaching people with their sleep for that long, sort of in the closet, because I haven't had a business around it, but I've been teaching people what I've been learning and really transforming their lives. And through that, I recognized that there was a message that I needed to spread more widely and share with other people. Of course, there's a monetizing aspect to that as well, because I wasn't so much enjoying what I was doing with my risk management work. I hope none of my clients are listening. that's sort of where it started, and I'm just loving it. I'm really enjoying it's a journey, absolutely. I'm really enjoying it. I'm just loving the changes that I'm seeing in people's lives and turning it into a legitimate business. There are people out there who really do need more sleep. Most of the people I work with are women. And they're women, the ambitious women who are looking to optimize their performance. So, you know, working so hard, cramming more and more into their days. And through sleep, there are so many benefits, and optimizing your performance through more energy, more focus, more creativity, better memory. I probably need some more sleep. And they're the people that I predominantly work with, but I work with many, many different people. And you know, the language is the same, whether I'm talking to you with your community of people in the super yacht industry, or whether I'm talking to a group of, you know, postmenopausal women or young teenagers, the message around sleep is the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we were just discussing before we got on this call, Amanda has kindly done a little bit of research on her own about the industry. And as Amanda has never worked in the industry before, however, she has read that we don't get a lot of sleep. We're working back to back. It's interrupted sleep, and how this impacts our well-being and in turn our mental health. A lot of my clients see me for burnout, and I can see the correlation between burnout as well as mental health issues such as depression or anxiety. So even substance abuse disorder is another one. So I highly encourage my clients to reflect on their current habits on board and how they can incorporate self-care. And sleep is a form of self-care. So it's looking at how do you prepare yourself for a good night's rest. So I'd love to hear your insight around the culture with regards to yachting and how we can sort of put things into place to have a good night's sleep.
Yeah, certainly. And just going back to your comment, Corinne, about mental well-being and self-care and burnout, and sleep is very much hand in glove with mental illness, whether it's or mental well-being. So it's, you know, if you're feeling stressed, it was last week, I had some microsurgery on my shoulder. I was at my mum's house looking after her with my dad was in hospital, still running three businesses, and I really did, and I was launching a new website, and I was really feeling quite overwhelmed. But also what was happening was I was actually sleeping, as creepy as it sounds, in my mum's bed with her, and not getting a great night's sleep. In fact, some of the worst night's sleeps I've had since I had a young child. And so those stresses were just compounded by my lack of sleep. When we sleep well and we wake up feeling energized, we're so much more able to deal with stress. Yeah. So I think everyone can relate to feeling tired, and just someone pushes a button just ever so slightly and all of a sudden it's meltdown, whether it's tears or anger, but it comes out as an outburst, and we're not able to monitor our emotions as well. So it's a really important connection to make. So if people are feeling not necessarily just depressed, but just even, you know, a low mood, but certainly depression and any other sort of anxiety type of illnesses, look at your sleep. Sleep is a really, really important one to look at. Now, when people talk to me about sleep, they always say, well, how much sleep should I get? And unfortunately, yeah, I can't give you the answer because there's so much variability. What I can say is that over 2/3 of women don't sleep enough, and over 1/3 of the global population don't sleep enough. That's a significant number of people who aren't sleepy enough. And the number of people who are sleeping less than 7 hours a night is significantly on the rise. And the average that the research is showing that adults need to sleep is between 7.5, and that's a real minimum, to 10 hours. And really, you need to work out what you need. So sort of duration of sleep is something which is very personal, and you don't need sleep trackers to work that out. It's basically, how do you feel when you wake up in the morning after an 8-hour sleep? I can rock the world after 8 hours of sleep. Yeah. But if you think that you can get by on 7.5, and again, getting by, do you want to survive or do you want to thrive? So again, just adding an extra 30 minutes into your nighttime sleep window can be the difference between thriving and just surviving and getting by. But in terms of what can you do, and I guess the I'm trying not to swing too much in my hanging chair here. mind you, your community is probably all rocking in their boat.
True. I used to swing movements, but you're taking me to Bali. I just feel like, why not bring Bali at home if you can't go to Bali?
True. No, East Fremantle. My knowledge, as Corinne has said, is very limited in terms of the yachting industry. I've spent some time on yachts. I worked on a long line fishing boat off the back of Rottnest for a number of years as a second job. It was a side hustle, crazy enough. I have sailed around Croatia in a yacht, but I have not worked on a yacht. I did some research on the rock lobster boats in WA early in my nursing studies, but that's not really work. But I get an insight into what's happening, and I think that it's this very disrupted sleep. You know, you sort of don't know what time you're going to fall asleep necessarily, what time you might be woken up. There's a lot going on, and there's a lot going on in the environment on a yacht, which is, you you can't change. Sorry, that's my phone going off. I should have turned it off. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. I think about, you know, two things. There's your environment and your behaviours when it comes to what you can do to sleep better. And on a yacht, I imagine that your environment is fixed to an extent. It's not like it's your home and you can change it. You can't put up block out blinds necessarily, but there's a few things that you can do. So I'll start with environment. And, you know, your environment to sleep is a really important starting place, because I think it's easier to change than your behaviours. So we'll get to them afterwards. But in terms of environment, your room or your cabin needs to be a sleep sanctuary. And again, there's limitations to what you can achieve in the quarters on a super yacht. But make it as much of a little sleep sanctuary as possible. A cocoon, somewhere which you feel safe and it's a relaxing environment. And there are, of course, there's noise. There's light, which can all disrupt your sleep. And interestingly, you know, when you think about, oh, how many times do I wake up during the night? You think about, or you know about the conscious awakening. So when something, I'm going to just turn that off. Sorry.
Okay, we're back.
Okay, sorry about that. Turn my phone off. So I think we were talking about awakenings. So we're conscious of the nighttime awakenings where we actually come right out of deep sleep, REM sleep, and we're actually conscious. But there are so many disruptions during the night which actually don't bring us up out of sleep completely. So there's so many more disruptions that we're not aware of. So it's really important, if you think, oh, look, the noise isn't keeping me awake or the light's not disturbing me, just have a recheck of it. I sleep with a sleep mask if I can't block out light. And sometimes you've just got to get used to a few aids to get you to sleep. And I'm not talking about medications, because I'm very much about the natural approach to sleep therapy. Aids as in my back pocket, wherever I carry, well, not my pocket, but in my bathroom bag, I keep earplugs, a really good set of earplugs, and my sleep mask. I have a silk sleep mask and I use that to block out the light, because light will interrupt your sleep. Earplugs are a godsend. They are, yeah, I don't know how many more hours sleep I get a night. I have a husband who snores and snores and snores. I have a dog that barks. I have a house that's right on the street and cars go past. So those earplugs, whilst it might take a few nights to get used to wearing them, they are essential. So, and you really need to know how to put earplugs in. I have got an upcoming Instagram story on how to use earplugs. Which is, you know, my dad swore he wasn't going to wear earplugs when he went into hospital last week. Oh, they just, you know, I can't sleep. Intensive care, I don't want to go in. And I said, just wear earplugs, Dad. No, I can't wear them. I tried them for years. They don't work for me. So I showed him how. And the next morning I spoke to him and he was all these years and I just haven't known how to use earplugs. So it's a really simple thing. So we've talked about light. And if you can, I don't know whether you've got, you've probably got little windows. If you do, just put something up to block light, because I imagine that you're getting sleep when you can on a yacht. It's not necessarily nighttime. Is that right?
Yes, you have your breaks. Like I know in my breaks, I was completely out. Like it's a 20-minute break and I was in a deep sleep and I'd wake up and I wouldn't know what day, what time, what shift. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Make sure we come back to that about length of sleep. Mm-hmm. Environment, what have we done? Yeah, noise, even vibration. But yeah, again, on a yacht, you're not going to really make a difference. And I imagine you're sharing cabins often. You're not on your own. So making sure that you've got a good cabin, you know, buddy.
Yeah.
Maybe you can't choose that so much, but being respectful, it's also being respectful of their time when they're trying to sleep as well. Certainly putting a sleep mask on is a real indication that, hey, Corinne is trying to sleep, so I'm going to be a little bit more sensitive around. Yes. You know what I mean? Like it's not just, oh, she's just happy. Yeah, it's a cue. It's like, yeah. So behavioural, there's heaps more environmental factors, but they're the ones that I think are the most important. You can also try things like scents, like a bit of aromatherapy to get to sleep. Certainly lavender and orange blossom are things that I really like to work with, but it's a very personal thing, as is perfume. You know, what you like, I might not like. So get to know what works for you. Behavioural, these are key, okay? I don't think that your audience, your community, Corinne, is lacking in sunlight exposure. Yeah. But I will just briefly talk about it. Exposure to sunlight is really, really important first thing in the morning. So if you are feeling tired when you wake up in the morning, and you're, even if you're waking up after an afternoon snooze, or you're doing a shift and you wake up mid-afternoon, exposure to sunlight, exposure to light is what activates our body clock. And we get a burst of cortisol, we get a burst of adrenaline, and those are the things that increase our heart rate, our blood pressure, and get us going for the day, which is helping us to wake up and feel energized. But one of the really key things that it also does is it sets a timer for melatonin to be released in about 12 to 14 hours time. So say for example, yeah, it's really interesting. I wake up a bit later than I should at the moment because the days are getting shorter, but I usually wake up about 6 o'clock, and I will get up, go to the bathroom, and then I come outside and I will either sit in this hammock or hanging chair, or I might do a little bit of pruning, I might scoop the leaves off the pool, but I get exposure to sunlight. If it's a sunny day, 15 minutes is all you need. If it's overcast or cloudy, you might need a bit longer, but that exposure to sunlight, and what's happening is the sun is at a really low solar angle, and your melanopsin cells in your retinas, because you've got two of them, are super sensitive to that particular wavelength of light. Once the sun is overhead, it's very, very difficult to reset your body clock. And we need to reset our body clocks because we have a 24-hour day, but our body clocks actually run a little bit longer than 24 hours, which is a bit crazy when you think, wow, why is that? It's about 24.3 on average. So we need to just reset it every day and get that, you know, the light and dark cycles really kicking in and out. So exposure to sunlight, there's, you know, what you eat and when you eat it is really important. You know, what are the meals like when you do, you're in the super, and it's just snacking, or do you actually have three meals? What?
You have three meals. And yeah. Then there's like, I want to say snack bar, but there's a, in the crew mess, you've got access to snacks whenever you want. And the chefs, they have to prepare meals where there's enough, you know, salad, greens and meats and carbs. So it's well balanced and attends to everyone's dietary requirements as well.
So it sounds like it's a good spread of food on offer. Yeah.
I'm curious to know though, alcohol, how does that impact sleep?
Yeah, alcohol, people think that it's a great sleep aid, and it's not. Alcohol is a type of sedative. It has sedative effects, and sedation is not sleep. So we need to really get that right. Sedation is not sleep. I love drinking red wine. I love it. It does help me fall asleep. Not that I have trouble, but some people think it helps you fall asleep, but it will not give you a solid sleep. So you will wake up and have more frequent awakenings during the night. And there's a number of reasons behind that. One is obviously it's a diuretic. So you're going to be peeing more. So you're going to be getting up more during the night. Crazy birds.
Exactly.
But alcohol, you know, it's not something to lean on to help you get to sleep. Alcohol is going to, if you're having trouble sleeping, avoid the alcohol and you'll have a much better sleep. You'll sleep for longer and you'll have a more solid sleep. Alcohol limits our deep sleep. So you won't get into deep sleep as much. And deep sleep is our recovery sleep. What are some of the other things that I can talk about? Particularly around the diet, we're talking about food. And when we're tired, our brains our hunger hormones move in the wrong direction. We've got hunger hormones called ghrelin and leptin, and they both start heading in the wrong direction to where they should be. So we've got a hunger hormone, which is it's like a an appetite. I'm full. It tells me whether I'm satiated or not. And there's also a hunger hormone, and they're called leptin and ghrelin, and they head in the wrong direction. So when I'm sitting on the couch at night here, which I'm doing less and less now because I'm working so hard, but when I'm sitting on the couch and I'm tired, I'm going to be getting up and I'm going to be searching for food, even though I have just had a full meal. And I'm also going to be searching for the wrong food. So I'm going to be looking for the starchy, high sugar foods.
Yeah.
And so it's just something to be mindful of, you know, don't be reaching for starchy, sugary foods when you are tired. Mm. What I wanted to ask about, Corinne, was just about the opportunity to catch up on sleep. And of course, there's no sleep bank. We can't sort of store sleep and then you call upon, you know, debts that we've put in there and use them as credits later on. It's, you know, you can maybe catch up on sleep within a 24-hour period, but we want the sleep. If you can get sleep, it needs to be in one solid block of whatever it is, 8 hours, 8.5 hours. But it sounds like within your environment that you teach in, that that's not the case, that you're not going to get that solid block necessarily. Are they split? So predominantly people split their sleeps over two periods, or is it you just get a block and then you try and catch up during the day if it's been insufficient?
Yeah, it really depends who's developing the schedule, because I think each yacht is different, and I can only go through my experience, which was 10 years ago, so hard to remember, but I was sharing a cabin with the chef, and we would get calls from the kids at 4 a.m. for ice cream. And she would like scramble out of bed and in a flurry, and that consistent interrupt. And actually it brought back a memory. We were sitting in the crew mess in a conversation and she fell asleep mid-conversation. She was that tired.
Wow.
Nodding off to sleep. Yeah.
Wow.
Just imagine, like, I just spoke to a client this morning for counseling, and she hasn't had a day off in a year, and the owners basically live on board, plus they do charters. So it's really, really intense. You've worked in an isolating industry, so you would also know the impact of working in an isolating industry. You become institutionalized. And yet to the lack of sleep is very difficult to continue your work, especially living and working together in an environment, and you're completely stretched physically, emotionally, psychologically. So yeah, it's not easy. It's tough.
Yeah.
A reflection today about growth in my membership. I'm doing a teaching on growth and fixed mindset. And with growth mindset, it's all about grit and having that perseverance and resilience. And that industry certainly taught me grit. I'm so grateful, because I think it would be so hard for me to be a business owner without that background.
Yeah, true. Very true. And part of the grit with sleep is it's unfortunately, grit doesn't work well for sleep, because people are so gritty in their work and their personal endeavors or their work endeavors that they're giving up sleep. I think it must be so challenging in the yachting industry, because your mind adapts very quickly to lack of sleep. So last week I described I think there was three nights of bad sleep. The first morning I felt like crap. Second morning, blah. Third morning, I was starting to feel like, I'm okay. And your body quickly adapts to a new normal, but it's so not the new normal. You're starting to behave like you're drunk. And there's some real, that's some very quality peer-reviewed research out there, and not one, but multiple studies that demonstrate that people who are sleep deprived respond similarly to somebody who is inebriated. So someone who's been drinking alcohol, to the point that they're drunk. So it's really important to remember that we may not feel that we are sleep deprived, but there are some, you know, real signals around that, you know, yawning excessively, waking up feeling like you could just sleep for another day or a few hours, daytime sleepiness, You look like you've got daytime sleepiness, or am I just putting you to sleep?
No, not at all. But I was going to ask you this, but normally around 3 o'clock, I hit the afternoon slump and I get really tired. So I'm like, I should ask Amanda what that's about.
It is. It's an afternoon slump. So, your body temperature, your circadian rhythm, it's not just this sort of constant up and down. There are a couple of peaks. Interesting, there's also a peak late in the evening. So when you probably experience this as I do, you know, you're sitting there at your computer working away, go and have dinner, and then you get this extra like, woo, I'm on fire. Yeah, which is a natural peak. And how we have evolved to develop that peak is really interesting, and there are some ideas behind it. But that peak, I think we just need to be mindful of that. We don't jump on the peak and start riding it. We need to go, okay, I can probably be a little bit productive, but I don't want to be too stimulating with what I'm doing.
Yeah.
In the afternoon, when you've got that mid-afternoon slump, what are you going to do? Wow.
Exactly.
Ideally, get some sleep. Siestas would be, I think, the most valuable tool, apart from earplugs, for people in the audio industry. Learning how to sleep in short bursts, I think, would be a really, really powerful tool. And maybe we can do some training on that together, Corinne, about, you know, how can you sleep in short bursts effectively?
That is a good one.
Yeah, because, you know, it's not, you know, some people can fall asleep easy. My husband, oh my gosh, he can put his head on that pillow and he's out for the, you know, out, you know. Me, that means if I try and have a sleep, I will not fall asleep straight away. It'll take me maybe 10 minutes to get to sleep. Some people just can't do it, even if they're really tired. So you can train yourself to fall asleep, I believe. But just on that afternoon siesta, there's some really nice tricks to get the maximum out of that afternoon siesta. If you've got 20, 30 minutes, put your head on the pillow, put on a sleep mask or pull a pillow over your head, put some earplugs in. But before you do that, go and have a shot of coffee. Go and have a shot of coffee or caffeine. Yeah, not necessarily a sugary drink. So a shot of like a short black would be ideal, an espresso. Have a shot of coffee. And this sounds so like, what is she saying? Then go and lie down and have a sleep. And it's called a caffeine nap. And what's happening here are two things. When you are feeling tired during the day, you've got this chemical called adenosine, which is slowly increasing. And that is causing this sleep drive. So it's slowly rising during the day and it peaks overnight, but it's what helps you to go to bed. When you have a nap, the adenosine levels drop off because you're sleeping. But what also happens with the caffeine affects people differently, but on average it will take about 20 to 30 minutes to kick in. So if you have a shot of coffee, go and lie down and have a 20 minute power nap. By the time you're waking up, your adenosine levels have dropped and the caffeine is also kicking in. So you get this, you know, you say you wake up feeling really groggy from a sleep. I used to feel like I was some angry bear waking up from a deep, dark winter sleep when I had afternoon sleeps. One, I was sleeping for too long. 20 minutes is a short sleep. It gives me some more energy, drops off the adenosine, but I'm not going to be going into a deep sleep. And if you wake up from a deep sleep, that's when you're going to feel like, oh, really?
Yeah.
But the caffeine helps to kick in. And caffeine is a really interesting one. It's I won't go into the science, but that's another subject, how it works. But having an afternoon siesta is absolutely critical, or not even an afternoon one. If you can grab some sleep, learn to fall asleep, put a timer on and wake up in 20 minutes. If you're really feeling sleep deprived, just sleep when you can. If you need to sleep for two more hours, go and put your head on the pillow and go to sleep. And sleep for 2 hours. When you wake up, grab some exercise, grab some fresh air, grab a coffee, don't drink coffee after 3 o'clock in the afternoon or any caffeinated beverage, sodas and all sorts. Again, people are very have huge variability. For me, 3 o'clock, caffeine has a half-life on average about 6 hours. So if I have a coffee at 3 o'clock, 6 hours from that's going to be 9 o'clock at night. So at 9 o'clock at night, I'm still going to have half of that caffeine circulated in my system. And caffeine parks itself in the brain's receptors, where adenosine, that sleepy drug, wants to park. So adenosine goes and parks in those receptors normally, but caffeine blocks adenosine. It's like a car park, basically. It's a free car park, and the caffeine goes and parks itself in there, so adenosine can't go in there. So if you're having caffeine in your system too late in the evening when you're wanting to fall asleep, you're not going to be able to, because the adenosine is not allowed to go into that sleep receptor in your brain, and you're not going to feel tired and wanting to go to sleep.
Yeah. So. Gosh, I didn't know that. That's an interesting fact. Now, yeah. You're talking about facts. In the beginning, you mentioned women. What was the stats about that? Was it two-thirds or something like that?
Yeah, two-thirds of women are sleeping less than they need to.
Okay. And yeah. In comparison to men, who performs better when it comes to
sleep? Who's better in bed? Is that what you're asking?
No, not performance in bed, really. But like, yeah, who gets better quality sleep, or who's able?
Men.
And why do you think that is?
I have read a bit about this. My personal thoughts are that women are more, we worry more.
Yeah.
You know, we're more concerned about ourselves, others, life. Mm-hmm. We worry more. I believe that women are trying to do too much right now. You know, we're trying to be a breadwinner. We're trying to also look amazing. That takes time and effort. We're also trying to better ourselves. We're doing lots of research and study and reading. And then there's also the hormone side of things. You know, men don't necessarily have an easy street with hormones. I've got a 13-year-old, and oh my God. Actually, I'm on the end of that. He's probably quite happy. But hormones, you know, women going through even pregnancy, the hormones there can really disrupt sleep, but particularly around the perimenopausal stage and menopause. And some women are experiencing perimenopause in their early to mid 30s. So this can really upset your sleep. Yeah, hugely.
Wow, Amanda, thank you so much for your time and your wealth of knowledge. How can people find you, and do you have a resource that people can download, or what do you have available?
Yeah, I have a few. Instagram is probably the best place to find me, sleepspot underscore.
Okay.
I also have a business Facebook page, but I have a free Facebook community, so you're welcome to jump in there. And there are a few resources which I've just uploaded on my new website. There's actually some that will be quite helpful for your community. One is Get the Fuck to Sleep, and that is about, you know, probably people in the audio industry, they know they need to go to sleep, but they're on social media, on their phones, just catching up on their news feed or wanting to read a book or watch something on Netflix. Get the fuck to sleep. Make use of that time and go to sleep. That's what that resource is about. And it's the kick in the butt that we all need, me included. What else have I got on there? How to survive a bad night's sleep. That's another one for you guys. Yeah. So they're mini courses, but they're free. So they're really short. You can jump in and out whenever you want. And there's a third one. What's the third one? I can't remember what the third one is. I should. Can't remember. Go find out.
They can reach out and ask. Brilliant.
Just go to the website and have a look. Yeah, you'll see them there. There's three free resources, but lots packed with information. So go and help yourselves. But been lovely chatting. And if anyone has got questions, more than happy to DM me in Instagram. I'm happy to answer anyone's questions. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to having you in the membership as well, because I think what you mentioned about getting those short bursts of sleep, quality sleep, would be such a helpful tip to learn.
Yeah, happy to help out. Yeah.